Jay-Z, when I'm flying through Canada, you know I'm checking out CKUT 90.3, you heard?
Hey, yo, this is the narcissist, the Euphrates, Nomadic Massive, represent Montreal, the Basra. You're listening to CKUT 90.3. Turn up your radios and turn off your televisions.
Airing on Asheville FM, 103.3 LPFM in Asheville, this is the Final Straw Radio, a weekly anarchist and anti-authoritarian broadcast and podcast emanating out of occupied Chalagi land in southern Appalachia. We bring you voices and perspectives from projects and struggles all around the world, and you can find our archives, transcripts, ways to follow us and support us at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org. This week, we're featuring a conversation with Mohamed Horaini, a young activist from Massa Ferriata, an area in the hills south.
You are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Christelle Franca. I am here with Wissam Salem and Juliette Foster, my friend and colleague from Radio Vigil. Today on CKUT, we are holding a listening vigil for Palestine. So for the coming hour, we will be broadcasting a curation of voices that we have been listening to and that we have extracted from social media posts during the last 116 days. He will be listening to the voices of journalists, artists, academics, diplomats, lawyers, protesters, civilians on the ground, all currently witnessing and testifying about the ethnic cleansing happening in occupied Palestine, all endlessly reporting it on social media, even making an effort to express in English, so we in the West, in the global North, we may hear them better and act accordingly. We created Radio Vigil as an online platform to take care of those voices. Radio Vigil is a trick to safe keep those voices outside of the erasing and silencing programs of the empire. Radio Vigil is also our soil to offer those voices a place to ground outside of the noise of social media, outside of the petrifying spells of images. We wanted to give those voices a place to rest and to be deeply heard. As we also wanted to give ourselves a place to rest while still keeping engaged through the slower, the calmer pace of listening. This one-hour selection is part of a larger and ongoing archive that we are putting together at radiovigil.com. So you can go there, hear more, read more, and download the audio. By definition, a vigil is a period of keeping awake during the time usually spent asleep, especially to keep watch or pray. We do know that this is both an individual and a collective watch. So we decided also holding some live gathering where we can listen together to those voices, side by side, and where we can talk to each other afterwards. We see how much we're in need of those safe spaces where we can bear witness to each other's process while keeping the watch for what is unfolding and pray. So if you, your community, your institution, want to organize one of those listening vigils for Palestine, reach out to us at radiovigil.com. For now, we thank you for keeping awake by sharing on social media, by speaking up every possible way you can. And we thank you, CKUT, for being a great ally in the watch. You are listening to Radio Vigil. This is a listening vigil for Palestine on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Disclaimers on disclaimers. Diminishing the potency of genuine critique so double speak can come between us. dulling our humanity in the sanctity of dreamers, longing for a world devoid of war and all its profiteers, because it's clear how most of us agree on just how precious life is. Indigenous and immigrant, the sinner and the righteous, lives black as my son's grandfather, as Jewish as his wife is. None of this should be as controversial as the imagery of Christ is Palestinian. Like my three nieces, nephew, and the like is, their beautiful existence proof how genuine the fight is, how wrong the Christian right is, how strong a mother's sight is forgotten. In forgetfulness, a virgin birth of light is. Baby, after baby, after baby, after baby, murdered by these racists pushing buttons on the daily. You ain't crazy. This is not normal. And to hell with those who normalize it, and all the so-called journalists and heads of state who formalize it. Finally, we're witnessing a global shift in consciousness, an awakening to all the lies perpetuating callousness towards Arab and African lives. Those neoliberal colonizer narratives shall never thrive again. Now say amen. Amen. Thumma amen. From sea to soul to reams, from the river to the sea to every olive seed between. For those native to a land would never dream of dropping bombs on it. Not when every grain of sand seen as a blessing. Stomping feet upon the ground to teach the people of the world a lesson about life. Take note. What you see is love divine. That they may manufacture consent, but hope and courage is made in Palestine.
This is Kerem Shalom Crossing. The aid trucks are down here. The army is controlling the crossing. But the reason the trucks can't get through is this. A protest of people. They say they don't want the food to go into Gaza because it falls into the hands of Hamas. They say hold back the humanitarian aid so that the hostages can get released. There are perhaps a couple of hundred people here. Today, the border was closed. The last few days they've had protests. The border was closed as well. The number one interim ruling from the International Court of Justice for Israel to follow, keep the humanitarian aid flowing. Right now, it's getting blocked here by this protest.
I think what is so infuriating about this moment is it's not a competition of which people should be given humanity. It's the extension of an existing humanity to all people. And it's so framed that to extend something to Palestinians is to deny it to someone else. Mm. It's simply to say that which anyone deserves, Palestinians deserve too. And it's hard to see just how much suffering has to be on a loop for us to start to recognize that maybe these people do not deserve such a thing.
Breaking news. محكمة العدل الدولية اللي تتعامل مع قضية إبادة جماعية ترتكبها إسرائيل ضد شعب غزة لليوم 112 على التوالي تنسى في جلستها وفي القرار تبعها تحكي لإسرائيل توقف إطلاق النار. The ICJ is dealing with a case of genocide that Israel is committing against Palestinians in Gaza Strip in the day 12 after 100 forgets to tell Israel in her decision today to cease fire against Palestinians in Gaza. We are under fire and under killing. We are under genocide. For the day 112 and the ICJ, the only solution for us and the final يعني, hope for us is forgetting to tell Israel to cease fire against us. Forgets to tell Israel that Israel must allow people who are displaced from the north of Gaza Strip to return to their homes again. تنسى تحكي للناس لاتنين مليون شخص ان يرجع على بيوتهم. محكمة العدل الدولية سقطت. There is no justice in the International Court of Justice. سقطت محكمة العدل الدولية وسقط العدل في العالم. There is no justice in this world. ICG is a lie. That's it. Thanks, world. We're continuing this alone, as we started this alone, with our own mobiles to tell you the truth and to seek for justice. Now, there's no truth or justice. I'm just stuck out of my home and can't get back, and no one can get me back to my home or to stop killing us day after day for 112 days. رح نكمل في بدينا لحالنا، رح ندور على العدالة بجوالاتنا وموبايلاتنا وكاميراتنا، لأنه الإشي الوحيد اللي نقدر نعمله هو نوثق هاي الجرائم اللي ترتكب ضدنا. ممكن نموت، ممكن نقتل زي ما حنقتل الآن وإحنا بعاد عن بيوتنا، ومحدش بيقدر يرجعنا على بيوتنا غير إرادة مجرم مرتكب لجرائم الإبادة الجماعية، وهي إسرائيل اللي بترتكب الجرائم ضدي وضد شعبي من 112 يوم. There is no justice in this world.
I've seen it happen so often now on TV where, like, the interviewer is being like, I'm giving you a platform. You're a Palestinian, but I'm giving you a platform. As in, like, you're a Palestinian, but I'm still giving you a platform, so be grateful. The way I see it, you, the Western journalist, reporter, who has a show, it is your duty to give the Palestinian a space and a platform with uninterrupted time to express what has been happening to his people for 75 years, over 75 years. In my humble opinion, it is your duty. You're not doing anybody a favor.
I have the opportunity to leave, Owen. I have a Canadian passport, and my name has been approved by the Israelis to leave the Rafah border. However, together with hundreds of others, we decided to stay here. It's a choice that we made. And trust me, if the Rafah border opens tomorrow, the Israelis think that thousands will leave Gaza. I tell them that millions from the around the world will come to Gaza to help Gaza, not the other way around. So going back to the journalists, over 111 journalists have been killed since the start, many of them with their family members. Being a journalist here, even a volunteer journalist like myself, or someone who tries to be active on social media, makes you an immediate target, unfortunately. And every day we express, we hear the news about someone who lost their family member, or we lose a family, we call them family members, journalists around us, who we lose here every day. However, this only increases our determination to remember their blood that was spilled and to continue our journey to ensure that the outside world listens to what's happening here through images, through our voice, through our determination, through the videos. Personally, like I said, I started only around 90 days ago. People from the media team called on to me and said, Mansour, we heard that you lived in the West. You can speak good English. And we have a lot of requests from international TV stations asking for people, civilians, to talk in English to explain to the world what is really happening here in Gaza. Especially in the first week, Owen, if you remember, the Zionist propaganda was very strong. Palestinians were called animals, rapists, baby killers. It was really bad, especially in the Western world. So together with many others, we tried to change that. And personally, I did over 85 different live interviews with international TV stations. And I thought that I was doing a good job until someone told me, Mansour, you're missing out big time. I'm like, why? I'm going on Al Jazeera. I'm going on CNN, BBC. I appeared 6 times with Fox News. Like, he's like, no, social media is where it's at. I'm like, yeah, but isn't like Instagram and TikTok, or aren't these like just time wasters? Like, I thought people just do it for, you know, like, no, you have to go and check it out. So I was wrong. And the reach that the social media, especially on Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, even LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, Threads, Shorts, Reels, not only does it give you access to a different audience, the new generation, those who actually change the game right now, but the numbers are like mind-boggling. So, for example, we started a hashtag TikTok called I Stand With Palestine a month and a half ago. And within 2 days, it reached over 1 billion mentions just on TikTok alone. So this is to show you the power of social media and how you, the listener, the viewer, the social media creator, the ones who like, share, comment, you have changed the game. Before, we used to rely on mainstream media who were controlled by governments, controlled by those who pay their paycheck at the end of the day. But right now, we have a lot of freedom through social media, thanks to you.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Peace be with you all. We received the disturbing news that Brother Mansour Shuman, who is a Palestinian Canadian, who is reporting from the ground of Gaza and assisting humanitarian efforts on the ground in Gaza, has been abducted by the IDF, according to multiple eyewitnesses. We're calling upon Prime Minister Trudeau and the Canadian government to take immediate action to make sure that Mansour is safe, to make sure that he is returned to his family unharmed, to put pressure on the IDF immediately to return Mansour, because we should be pressuring them also to call for a ceasefire so that we can end this monstrosity in every way possible. So everyone, please follow Mansour's links below all of his social media handles. Tag Prime Minister Trudeau in Canada. Make the phone calls, send the emails. Let's get Mansour home, and let's end one element of this atrocity while calling for an immediate end to it all. Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you all.
Today I'm in Canada, and I heard the disturbing news that a Canadian Palestinian, Mansour Shuman, was abducted and is being held hostage in Gaza. And this is someone who I'm connected with online, someone who is an activist in Gaza, a brave Palestinian man who's choosing to be there, even though he's from Calgary as well, and he got abducted today. And I feel it's shameful that the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, hasn't said anything when this is a Canadian citizen. So do y'all mind if I make a video for Trudeau real quick? This one is for Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. We're in Montreal right now. And there is a Canadian Palestinian citizen, Mansour Shuman, who's been abducted in Palestine. And he is your citizen, and you need to call for his safe release. You need to call for his release from captivity. Because we want not only Mansour to be free, but all of Palestine to be free. Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
I said free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
That's all I wanted to do. I'm going to send that video to the Prime Minister and hopefully it helps. It's the least we can do in our safety, in our privilege, in our comfort, in the Western Hemisphere, to advocate for our brothers and sisters overseas who are held captive and who are...
Battling this building isn't a gimmick or jest. It's my poetic structure versus systemic threat. This is the office of Mark Miller, our liberal rep. And even though he isn't here in the literal flesh, I'll dismantle every brick till he's a liberal mess. He's the immigration officer in charge of citizenship and refugees. So why do families fleeing Gaza need approval from Tel Aviv? The same country bombing its citizens or vetting those who try to leave? You couldn't make that make sense if you were playing make-believe. But this is Canada. Our entire country's based on fake beliefs. Settlers with selective memories forgetting how it came to be. We take a step back, we're no different than Israelis. And all this racist Zionism you see upon your screens would be anti-Indigenous hate speech if it was 1983. But it's 1984. And what it means to be Canadian? Is charging $100 to Palestinians fleeing Israeli invasion, when in 2022, it was free for Ukrainians. They even got 2 weeks paid accommodation like some Club Med exclusively for Caucasians. We've got all you can eat. They're facing forced starvation. It's hard enough doing bureaucracy in a safe location. Imagine applying for government documentation with an eSIM donation. Our country is massive. It'd be easy to take them. But to qualify for even the most basic arrangements, You need a family relation within a degree of separation. It's flagrant. The double standard is blatant. But all we get from Mark Miller are justifications. It's a war zone. Anything could happen. So when it came to securing visas for Gazans, he cited security reasons and put the cap at 1,000. Oh, it's not a hard cap? So why is there a cap at all? See, even with no cap, he'd still be capping it, y'all. The math isn't mathing. It's actually wrong. That's 0.001% of Gazans trapped at the wall. I can hear MC Abdul shouting, but we won't answer his call. So when the next child dies, just know it's Canada's fault. The expectations are obscene. They ask you for employment history since age 16 with supervisors' names and the dates in between. They ask for social media links and medical records which state injuries. Why? Because TikTok and IG help you make an ID and a terrorist threat is a scrape to the knee? This is not a fair fight. You need the records airtight? Sure. I think the shoebox containing the receipts from the last 2 decades of their life survived the Israeli airstrike. Just hold on tight there, all right? 5 bills per family? As if refugees have cash, Mark. As if the IDF haven't eviscerated every single landmark. As if it isn't a cleansing of the people and the landmark. How many punchlines do I got a landmark?
My name is Hamza, and I am a fifth grader. Last month, about 100 aunts, uncles, and cousins on my mom's side and 100 on my dad's side were killed in Israeli airstrikes. I am too scared to watch the videos in Gaza, but I know that, but I know there are lots of people freezing, starving, and dehydrated. What makes me feel better is that in our religion, we know those who were killed in Gaza are not dead, but that they are raised to heaven because they were innocent people who were martyred. Dear Mayor Whitmire and City Council, would you please allow me to recite a 1-minute supplication to honor my family and all the people that are suffering or died in Gaza? Please, everyone, put your hands up for this supplication. اللهم انصر المستضعفين في غزة اللهم انزل عليهم سلاما وأمنا وأمانا اللهم كن لهم معينا ومؤيدا ونصيرا اللهم ارحم نساءهم اللهم ارحم أطفالهم اللهم ارحم شبابهم اللهم ارحم شيوخهم اللهم اشف جرحاهم اللهم تقبل شهداءهم. Oh Lord, give our leaders in the Houston City Council the courage, strength, and wisdom to call for an immediate ceasefire.
داركم كلها راحت؟
اه
اهل اهلا
اهلا اهلا كلهم بطار.
If you don't have a moral compass or some form of moral clarity at this point to say this needs to stop now, and you accept any justification for such barbaric acts happening, any, you lose all credibility. You can no longer speak of international law. Put it aside. No longer speak of it any time in your lifetime. This is it. In every generation, we have a moment in time that is decisive for international law. We the Palestinian people, unfortunately, for 75 years have been a measuring stick of the illnesses affecting international law, the double standards that exist in international law. 75 years, it's not new. But the level of destruction we've seen, we have not seen since 1948. And I have to tell you, now in Gaza, every decision is a life or death decision. You wake up in the morning, the room you decided to sleep in is a life or death decision. You don't know the right decision. You decide to leave your home or stay in your home, it's a life or death decision. You are informed that there is humanitarian aid for you in this distribution center. You got a bag of flour. You decide to go pick it up or stay hungry. If you decide to go pick it up, that's a life or death decision. You might not make it back. Your child is wounded. Trying to get him to a hospital is a life or death decision. Every day, 2.3 million Palestinians are fighting for their lives. Every single day, 2.3 million people wake up in the morning not knowing if they will make it to the night, sleep at night not knowing if they will make it to the next day. Calling for a ceasefire is the only human decent thing to do.
Do you know Mahmoud Darwish? Mahmoud Darwish is a Palestinian poet and a legend. He wrote many books, many poetry, and he inspired all the Palestinian people for many decades. And as I was coming to this event, one of his poems came to my mind, in which he said, "Man ana liaqula lakum ma aqul." Who am I to say to you what I'm going to say to you? And here I am. I say it again. Who am I to say to you what I'm going to say to you? I'm a very simple Palestinian person, and I have nothing special to tell you. I'm a very average Palestinian, but I think I was a little bit lucky to have lived because I must have been killed by now. But I think I'm going to say a few words to you, maybe because these words might make me feel a little bit better, as a vent, maybe, because I have been going through a lot. Anyways, last night I couldn't sleep until 8 a.m. At 5 a.m., I was still in my bed trying to sleep, and I couldn't, and then I saw a tweet from my flatmate and my brother-in-law, Mustafa. And he wasn't also able to sleep, and he tweeted this. "I am shocked. My dear friend, colleague, surgery mentor, Dr. Khalid Hammouda, is kidnapped by the Israeli forces. Dr. Khalid is a peaceful, talented, dedicated surgeon. He trained me on several surgical skills. He recently lost almost all of his family, including his wife and daughter, and he put a circle to his friend." So his friend was one of the many, many hundreds of Palestinians who were in the Israeli army pictures, who were detained in northern Gaza. I'm sure you have seen the photos. Unfortunately, the Israelis said that these Palestinians who were detained, stripped naked, are all Hamas terrorists or fighters. And then my friend told me, he identified his colleague, his mentor. And I asked him, between me and him, I told him, "Mustafa, do you think he was a member of Hamas?" And he swore to me, he never belonged to any political party. He was just a civilian. And that's why I don't like the Western media. Because the Western media has always given Israel the cover and the atmosphere to do their genocides against the Palestinian people. The Western media took that picture and circulated everywhere, and they told everyone that Israel is only killing the terrorists or the Hamas fighters or whatever. And unfortunately, people have believed them. Then I spoke to Mustafa and I told him, "Tell me more about this person, about Khalid, the doctor who was kidnapped." He told me he was one of the best medical doctors in Gaza. But in this war, he lost his father, who was a pioneer. He was a doctor, a pioneer doctor. He lost his brother, who's also a doctor. He lost his other brother, who's a businessman, and his wife and his children. And Khalid himself lost his wife and his kids, and his home was demolished before he left to the school in order to seek refuge. And it is there where the Israeli army came and took Khalid away from his people. And then Mustafa was a little bit sad. Mustafa himself lost his father in this war. And he told me, his father was also a medical doctor, a pioneer medical doctor, and he told me something that hurts me a lot. He told me that every time he posts about his father, he feels embarrassed because he can't compare his tragedy to other Palestinians who have lost many, many family members.
So it eventually became losing only one family member, too little to talk about them or to boast about them. And I know Mustafa said that because he knows my story. And my story is an old one, but it ended with the 22nd of October 2023 in the war. When my family were sleeping in their home at 4 a.m. when Israel bombed my home and killed my family. In my home there was my father, my two brothers, my three sisters, and 14 of my nieces and nephews, actually 15 of my nieces and nephews. All of them were killed except for one nephew. His name is Omar, and he's 3 years old. He was injured, and he was retrieved from under the rubble. And Omar is only 3 years old. I always think of Omar. Omar lost his father. Omar lost his grandparents. Omar lost four of his uncles, three of his aunts, and 14 of his cousins. And he was injured himself. So when this happened to my family, I decided not to stay silent. I decided to challenge the Western media and how they talk about the Palestinian people. Because I know the theme of today is about the fall of the empires. And I believe that the biggest empire that have been subjecting the Palestinian people to humiliation and subjugation and oppression is the empire of the Israeli propaganda and media. So I decided to talk about my family and to post about them. I talked about my father, who's 75 years old, who was born only a few months after the Nakba. And he has endured all the atrocities that Israel has committed against the Palestinian people. He has endured the war in 1967, the occupation of the Gaza Strip, the Second Intifada, the First Intifada, the war in 2008, the war in 2012, the war in 2014, the war in 2019, the war in 2021, and the war in 2023. And I wrote about them. And I posted about them day and night until people get to know my story, get to know my family. And there, where the Western media came, they started calling me every now and then to have me interviewed by one of their anchors. And unfortunately, their interviews were more humiliating and descending than I ever could imagine. I'll give you an example. In one of the interviews, I told one of the anchors, the hosts, that I lost 21 family members, including 14 kids, my nieces and nephews. And he told me they're just collateral damage. It's okay. Another person, another anchor, told me that Hamas killed my family. Well, I know who killed my family. Another one asked me if my brothers and sisters were close to me. Another one told me that I shouldn't get into a war of words and hate while I was criticizing the Western media coverage. One of them told me that the international law doesn't matter. They don't care about the international law because the international law says the occupation is wrong. One of them told me that the UN is a spin force. And in the comments, many questions the reality that I lost 21 family members. And one of them asked me if I condemn Hamas only a few days after I lost my family. And one of them insisted that I should call Hamas a terror organization. And this is why I believe that the Western media is responsible for the killing of my family. Because no matter what Israel does, because no matter what Israel does over the past 75 years, no matter what Israel does, it is always their actions are justified by the Western media, that the Palestinians are terrorists, that the Palestinians are anti-Semite, that the Palestinians don't deserve democracy or life, that the Palestinians should never have their own sovereignty over their own lands. It is always the Palestinians die and the Israelis are killed and massacred. It is always the Palestinian people are collateral damage. It is always the Palestinian innocent, the children don't matter because they're not white. And that's why I will not forgive the Western media. I will never forgive the Western media. And I believe us, the Palestinians, we have been defying the Western media for a long time, and now we are using social media to defy the narrative of the Western media, and we are making a huge success. But I also believe that it's not only the Palestinians who have the responsibility to share their stories and to talk about their suffering and to send their message to the world. I believe it is you, the people who live in the UK and America and the free world. You have even a bigger responsibility towards the Palestinian people to share their stories. And allow me to be harsh with you a little bit. We will not forgive you if you do not tell our stories and convey our message. We will never. My nephew Omar is only 3 years old now. And I told you how many people he has lost and how he lost his home. And one day he will grow up to be 18 or 20 years old. And he will see his pictures when he was injured at the hospital, and he will see the pictures of his family he has lost. And he will never be with a father. His father died. So one day when he grows up, he will come maybe here to London, and he will ask you, what have you done after you heard the story of my family? I leave this with you. Thank you very much.
One day they came and they took the communist people, and I said nothing because I was not a communist. Then one day they came and they took the people of the Jewish faith, and I said nothing because I was not a Jew. Then one day they took the unionists, and I said nothing because I was not a unionist. They burned the Catholic churches one day, and I said nothing because I was a Protestant. Then one day they came and they took me, and I could say nothing because I was as guilty as they were. I was as guilty of genocide as those who killed the 18 million people along with me.
Yes, I was as guilty of genocide as those who killed the other people with me. And I say the only way we can avoid this is to look and speak out now, and don't let it happen here.
Hundreds, almost 1,000 of Jewish and Arab Palestinian citizens in Israel came to rally today in Tel Aviv against this war in a call for a ceasefire that will allow to bring back the hostages and end the killing of innocent people in Gaza. We are here to say that only Israeli-Palestinian peace will allow everyone to achieve security, to achieve a free life, to achieve a life of independence. And we are here to say that the war and the way of wars has achieved nothing. The way of the right wing of Israel, of one war after the other, of only using military power to try and achieve some change in reality, have achieved only destruction and death and killing of innocent people. So we are here sounding a voice of a different path, a path of independence, of equality, of freedom for all, a path of Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement.
As someone who grew up in so-called Israel, he is a Jewish from a mixed family of Arab Jews and Holocaust survivors from Europe. I think I have quite good insight into the mind of most Israelis, into the deep system of indoctrination that most Israelis go through throughout their lifetime. We never learn in school, in history, the real history of the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. Until I was in my mid-20s, late 20s even, I had no idea that in 48, 750,000 Palestinians were ethnically cleansed from their land and home. I had no idea. Can you imagine? A whole state has been built on top of indigenous people, and I had no idea. And then you grow up and you go to the mandatory service in the IOF, in the Israeli occupation forces. And that's even an even stronger system of indoctrination. Because you learned not only the skewed history that you've learned your entire life, but also makes you complicit in that, which becomes much, much harder to later on decolonize your mind and heart and get away from that system. It took me years, a lot of reading and studying, in curiosity, and a lot of being humbled by people who know more than me, by indigenous people from all different cultures, and especially by Palestinian people that I got to know more and more over the years, to really get me out of the smokescreen, out of the illusion of Zionism, out of the attachment to it as a Jewish person. To realize that yes, anti-Semitism is a real thing, and yes, Jewish safety is important, but it absolutely cannot come in the expense of mass expulsion, ethnic cleansing, and occupation of another nation. And so it's important for me to be here and share this voice so people in the world know that Judaism has absolutely nothing to do with Zionism. That most Jewish people are against and refuse to be complicit in a brutal occupation and genocide. That resistance to capitalism and imperialist colonialism is an inherent part of Jewish culture and history. Much love and free Palestine.
I saw in Auschwitz that if a dominant group wants to dehumanize others, so as the Nazis wanted to dehumanize me, these dominant group must first be dehumanized in a way themselves by diminishing their empathy due to propaganda and indoctrination in order to be able to be as cruel as some were. Okay? But the same holds nowadays for Israel. I am appalled about how hateful, how dehumanized, that they do not see any human aspect in any Palestinian anymore. It's terrible. The Zionists have not any right whatsoever to use the Holocaust for any purpose. They have given up everything which has to do with humanity, with empathy, for one thing, the state, the blood and soil, just like the Nazis. I was educated in the, I learned at school about blood and soil, and that's exactly their idea too. And humans do not play a role. Judaism, as I learned it, is highly, highly ethical. And so you cannot connect Zionism with highly ethical. You can only connect the words aggressive, oppressive, stealing, robbing with Zionism, but not highly ethical. Zionism and Judaism are contrary to each other, because Judaism is universal and humane, and Zionism is exactly the opposite. It is very narrow, very nationalistic, racist, colonialist, and all this. There is no national Judaism. There is Zionism and there is Judaism, and they are completely different.
You may think you're not dancing outside of a concentration camp, but you are. You may think you're not dancing on stolen land, but you are. You may think you're not a settler, but you are. The music is the memory. The music is the forecast. The music is the weapon of the future. The music is not complicit in your crimes. The music is certainly not complicit in your silence. The music speaks up and encourages you to do the same.
هدي يا بحر هدي طولنا في غيبتنا ودي سلامي ودي لا غزة اللي ربتنا
صوته لحاله وريه قديش طاقة كمان
I just want to say something to the leaders of the world. How can you just sleep when you see so much deaths around you in Gaza? How can you eat when you see people starving? How can you look at the children when you see that the children lose their fathers, their mothers, and the fathers bury their children, and the mothers can't feed their children? How can you sleep? How can you eat? How can you be happy? How can you leave this for 3 months? How can you do that? You don't have a heart? You don't have a mind? You're not humans? How can you do that? You can stop this war by one word. Where is the United Nations? Where is the children's rights? Where is all these words, and there is this old shelf-friendly documents that they are only good to be on shelves, but on real, nothing is happening. Why? Why Gaza children, Gaza families, Gaza people doesn't have the right to live? Why they have to be in a prison for 17 years? No airport. No permission to go out, no permission to go in. Why? How can this happen? When all the world is watching, how this can be happen? Why? My father left Kfar Saba in 1948. He's deceased now. I didn't see his house. He left it, and somebody else from Europe stayed in it. Why? Where is the rights? Where is the human rights? And I just want to send a message to all these leaders. Please, stop this war. Please, we stop this starvation. Stop bombing hospitals. Stop bombing masjids, mosques, and churches, and universities. Stop that. How many people has to die before you stop it? You care about to be presidents and elections. That's not the purpose of life. You can't be free until everybody is free. You can't be happy until everybody is happy. You can't live until everybody can live. All of us has to be happy together. We can live together. We have been living together with the Jews for thousands and thousands of years. Palestine was there before you sent the Zionism to us. Why didn't let them stay in Germany or in USA if you like them this much? If you support them this much, why don't you let them stay in USA? Why do you have to give it to other people and start fighting us because you want us to leave our land? How can this happen? We want two states. Let's live together. The families of the hostages is the same like the families of the hostages and prisoners in Israel prisons. The difference that their hostages are treated well, but our prisoners are tortured. Thousands of them, children, big, ladies, women, everybody is imprisoned in Israel. How this can be equal? Why can't we live together? Why? Why? We don't want war when we have our own country, our own identity, our own freedom. We'll be no threat to anybody. Why? Why we can't make a ceasefire now and forever, forever? And let's solve this issue for good. Why? And this is not only for Palestine and Gaza. It's for the free people, everyone in this world. Everyone in this world has the right to feel free as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. You can't be free when you bomb other people and kill other people. That's not humans. That's not humans. And for my son and his team and all the people of Palestine and all the people of Gaza and all the people of Khan Yunis, we tell you, stay steadfast. We are getting the strength from you. And we love you. We see you. And we will support you and pray for you. And please, leaders of this world, stop this war. Please. Please. Just because you are human, you can stop it. Please.
Ya Philistine, Ya Philistine, Ya Philistine, stronger than the Mujrimeen. Ya Philistine, Ya Philistine, Ya Philistine, you will be free, you must be free. Ya Philistine, Ya Philistine, Ya Philistine, from the river to the sea. Ya Philistine, Ya Philistine, Ya Philistine, you will be free, you must be free. Your spirit will not know defeat. You must be free, you will be free. Amen, amen, amen. Peace, human beings. Be encouraged. We are not a caravan of despair. Peace.
You have been listening to a radio vigil for Palestine. You can listen to this selection and more on radiovigil.com. We are finishing this show with the sound of the Mediterranean, and we shall come back on CKUT for more broadcasts until at least a real ceasefire is happening. And for now, we leave you with the show airing on CKUT every Wednesday, 6 to 7, Earth Say. This week, we are broadcasting an episode of the podcast Live Like the World is Dying. It's about parenting. This is CKUT.
My mom likes this one. But don't let that put you off.
Making space for women's voices, the voice of her say. The voice of her say. The voice of her say, coming at ya every Wednesday from 6 to 7.
Like the World is Dying, your podcast for what feels like the end times. I'm your host, Brooke Jackson, and today I have with me Zena Sherman, and we're going to talk about collective parenting. But before we get that, we want to celebrate being a member of the Channel Zero network of anarchist podcasts by giving a little shout out to one of the other wonderful podcasts on our network. Insert jingle here.
Welcome to Molotov Now, a podcast about taking action. In Molotov Now, we analyze and discuss news articles and stories of resistance from around the globe and connect them to our struggles here at home in Aberdeen,